This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Poyer has third down and nine. He's going to probably take a shot for the end zone here. Back to throw. Holding it. Turning right. Turning left. Being chased. It's going to be sacked. And the clock is going to run out. And the New England Patriots blow it. The one thing they could not do was take a sack. But they didn't account for the shark. The shark takes the clock and eats it along with Poyer. And the New England Patriots get to the Kansas City nine and do not score.
There has been a quote, a comment that has been stuck in my head all day. I'm excited for Sean Barber to come in studio here in an hour or so, so we can talk about it. Nick Wright's going to be on the show in 30 minutes. I'm sure he'll make fun of me because that's what Nick loves to do. I want to play this for you. This is from December 4th. That's 2 months ago. Sean Barber came on this radio show and said this.
Why are you putting the cape on before it needs to be put on?
Mahomes always has the cape on.
Well, that's Mahomes. That's the quarterback.
Tyreek always has the cape on. Kelsey always has the cape on. Kelsey's now like, hey, you know what? Weeks 1 through 15, I'm going to just kind of chill here. I'm going to have 700 yards receiving. And then playoff time, it's time for me to show him the best tight end in the NFL. He's just always the best tight end in the NFL.
You know what Sammy Watkins does? He waits to put his cape on until the playoff time. Maybe some guys do that.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Sean realized
I'm
what
not
is
on
it.
Your side. Sometimes I'm you just throwing realize, it out there.
Well, sometimes you got to realize in this era of football, maybe the regular season isn't the time for your playmakers to go out there and make plays. Maybe this is time for guys to stay healthy, continue to win ball games. Yes, you would love a bye, but you know the way the schedule. Maybe you know you can play lights out and still not get a bye.
That was Sean Barber exactly 2 months ago on this radio show. We talked a lot about Frank Clark. Sean, I know you've been up and down with Frank Clark. You had him winning Defensive Player of the Year. Then you were ready to trade him. You and Frank Clark have had a love-hate relationship, a bittersweet relationship. This is the game in which it's time to put on the cape. If you want to break this game down to the most simple point, if the Chiefs don't get pressure on Tom Brady, they're liable to get upset and lose this football game. If Chris Jones doesn't play well, if Frank Clark doesn't play well, if they give Brady time, if his jersey's clean and they don't rush the passer, that's a scenario in which you could possibly get beat. If Frank Clark gives us anywhere close to how he played against the Buffalo Bills, this is a game I think Kansas City wins comfortably. This is a game in which if Chris Jones, and I thought Chris Jones played his best game of the season against Buffalo. I thought Chris Jones was dominant over stretches in the game against the Buffalo Bills. If he does that, they will have a chance to win this game pretty comfortably. This game, to me, you can boil it down to, do you get pressure on Brady or do you not? And the differences in Brady's production based on teams that do get pressure and teams that don't.
It's taken me a while, but I'm going to tell you, C-Dot, exactly who Frank Clark is, all right? As a guy like me that took a lot of school, I'm sure that you ran across this kid at some point, right? That you had the group project and he was willing to maybe put in just minimal amount of effort and minimal amount of time. And then he's willing to put his name on everything. And then when you did the presentation, he said a few words. And then when you got the A, he was fully willing to accept it, right? Like he was a big part of the group. It kind of feels like that's what Frank Clark has been so far this year. You get my analogy where this entire year he's been saying, well, we're winning all these games and it hasn't cost us anything and I'll play big when it matters and all those different things. And then that same kid ends up, when the final comes around, acing it. That kid's damn smart. That kid's borderline genius. You've heard the term work smarter, not harder. And maybe that's what Frank Clark's doing this entire year, that he was just coasting. Because the truth is, he was great last game out versus the Buffalo Bills. He was great in last year's postseason. The last two playoffs, nobody in the NFL has more quarterback pressures than Frank Clark. In the history of the Chiefs franchise in the playoffs, nobody has more sacks than Frank Clark. So I figured out it took me a while. I apologize for talking all the smack. He's the kid genius that shows up for the final, that just puts his name on the group project, which is fine.
You want to talk about playoff Watkins? Frank Clark has played in 5 playoff games for Kansas City. He has 7 sacks in 5 playoff games for Kansas City.
He shows up for the final.
2 against Buffalo. Are you confident now? Are you back on board with Frank Clark? I know you've been up and down. I know you've been hot and cold with Frank Clark. There's only one game left this season, because we know next year Frank Clark's going to get like 1.5 sack, and then you'll be back on board with him getting 14 next year. I know you. Are you on board? Do you think that if I set the over-under on sacks for Frank Clark at 1, you taking the over or the under?
Predicting multiple sacks from a guy that's that inconsistent.
He got multiple in his last game against Buffalo. Far more mobile quarterback than Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the overs. I'm going to take the overs. Not only are the Chiefs going to blitz early and often, they're going against a statue of a quarterback. And Frank Clark, again, he's the one who's kind of built up his Chiefs career so far where he'll show up when it matters. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he's the one who's been very vocal. Now, outsiders have also, and sometimes I feel like outsiders, Chiefs fans, other media outlets have protected Frank Clark a little bit, saying, well, I mean, I think Sean Barber, just to call it what it is, protect him a little bit. Remember, he was asking us, why are we talking about his money? And I was saying, because if he makes $20 million a year and has 5 sacks, nobody should get paid $4 million for every single sack that they have. But the truth is, as long as he keeps doing his thing like he did in the playoffs last year, like he did last week, and if he does have a couple of sacks, everybody's going to pat him on the back like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
So keeping it with the defense, Terrezz Paylor was on. He said this about a Brett Veach decision.
It's got to be signing Tyrann Mathieu. Like, the ultimate chess piece on the back end has completely changed the defensive front. And honestly, guys, you could take a look at all his moves to rebuild that secondary, which was a dumpster fire in 2018. Mm-hmm. Like, everything they used 2 premium assets to rebuild the secondary into a pretty good pass defense, you know? Like, but signing Mathieu was a good one. I know some people has some issues with like the production they've gotten out of the Frank Clark deal, but he's a closer and he's brought the mentality that this defense really needs to. Like, I don't think they take that back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it starts with Mathieu. Like, what that dude has done as a captain, as a tempo setter, as a defensive chess piece, as a future Hall of Famer. You know, it's been awesome to watch. It really has.
That was Terrezz Paylor earlier today on Fesco in the Morning. There's no question that Tyrann Mathieu has been Brett Veach's best move. Where do you think Mathieu ranks as somebody who the Chiefs brought in free agency?
All time? Probably at the very top? I mean, what other free agent have they brought in that not only has had the success and the numbers on the field? I mean, 7 interceptions this year, all pro last year. And just the impact that he had on this defense. I think that outside of Patrick Mahomes, the biggest reason the Chiefs are in the position that they're in, and I'm not talking about things that were there before he got here. I'm not talking about Andy Reid or Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. I'm talking about post-Patrick Mahomes. Spags has been a big difference maker. Certainly Frank Clark has shown up. But if the Chiefs don't get Tyrann Mathieu to change the culture on that side of the ball, I don't think we're having the conversation of a dynasty or back-to-back Super Bowls or top 10 defenses or anything like that. So I think, unless I'm forgetting somebody, I'd have him as the best free agent the Chiefs have ever signed.
I mean, I think really the only other person in the conversation is Willie Rofe. Now, I know those teams didn't have that level of success, but I mean, they got a current Hall of Fame offensive lineman in free agency in Willie Rofe. That's the only player to me that's even in the argument of free agent that brought in that's had this level impact. Like, Tyrann Mathieu, I believe, is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, if this team wins and he is the star defensive player on a 2-time defending Super Bowl champion, he's well-liked by the media. I know it's not supposed to factor in, but had the level of success in college that he had and has the story that he has, Tyrann Mathieu will go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The fact that they didn't trade for Tyrann Mathieu. It wasn't like a Frank Clark situation where they potentially overpaid for him. He was on the open market. And I would say, think back to that year. Landon Collins got a bigger free agent contract than him. Earl Thomas also got more in free agent dollars that offseason than he did. The fact that Tyrann Mathieu was just sitting there for everybody to have and Kansas City signed him is outright type theft.
And that Houston wasn't like hell-bent to re-sign him. He was only there for a cup of coffee. It's crazy that the Chiefs got Tyrann Mathieu in his prime. I remember when they signed him, I was on with you. And I said, I think they got a guy in name, not in game. And as usual, I was dead wrong. Another guy that comes to mind, Priest Holmes. He was a free agent that came here, right, from Baltimore. Yeah, he certainly was pretty good here in Kansas City.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Nick Wright of Fox Sports 1, one of the top opinion makers in our business. Nick Wright will be on the show coming up in just a little bit. There was a prop bet that caught my eye yesterday that I think tells you how Vegas sees this game playing out. I'll explain what I mean. Stick around. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Second and fourth, the Kansas City 45-yard line. Chiefs by 16. Allen being rushed. He's gobbled up. He went swimming, and the shark got him. Josh Allen never saw the shark blowing in from his right shoulder. He obliterated right tackle Darrell Williams. A loss and a sack back to the 45-yard line, Buffalo Zone 45.
Coming up in a little bit, Nick Wright of FS1, of Fox Sports 1. Nick Wright will be on our show coming up in just a little bit. I'm sure it will be a fantastic time. So I was looking at prop bets, just starting to get into it, just kind of taking a look at what value I like. Clyde Edwards-Helaire's over-under on rushing yards is 30.5. Do you think that's Vegas telling us that they don't think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be a major part of this game? Because the number one running back for the Chiefs, if that's who it's going to be, seems like a no-brainer. Even when the Chiefs haven't run the football effectively, they always have whoever's going to get the most carries. And it's going to be somebody on this offense who gets 11 carries, 12 carries. Is Vegas telling us that they don't think that's going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire by putting his over-under at 30.5 yards in this game?
I don't know. What are the other running back props? Or do they have them? Or is Vegas even confident enough to put those on the board? I think that's the problem. It is pretty crazy that the Chiefs spent a first-round running back. In fact, they took the first running back off the board in last year's draft. How many mid-season acquisitions were talked about more than Le'Veon Bell? So they added two running backs that weren't on the team that won the Super Bowl last year. And now the Super Bowl's here, and you're asking me the over-under for certain guys and who's going to be the feature back and who's going to start and if we're even going to see Le'Veon Bell. Bro, I have absolutely no idea. I also think to some extent we found out that when you've got Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't really matter whether it's Darryl or Damian or Darwin or Shady or Edwards-Helaire or Le'Veon Bell, whoever it is running the football, as long as they do it a few times and Patrick Mahomes is throwing the football, they're going to have success. So I would play the overs because that number sounds way too low, but I also won't be surprised if he only gets four carries in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the numbers. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, his over-under was at 30.5. Darrell Williams' over-under was at 36.5. So Vegas is telling you that they think that Darrell Williams is going to be their number one running back. That's what I think, too. I know we had Mitch Holtis on the show last week, and he was talking how he thought that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be the number one running back in this game, and we'll see how healthy he is and how they want to use him. But let's not discount Darrell Williams. I mean, in the game against Cleveland, 13 carries for 78 yards. In the game against Buffalo, 13 carries for 52 yards. I'm not talking about going out there and being a world breaker, but if you think they're going to run the football effectively with Patrick Mahomes, if let's say the other running backs on your team can give you, let's say, 75 yards. So you're getting Mahomes in the run game, you're getting 75 yards, and knowing this team and knowing their creativity, Tyreek Hill is going to get a rush opportunity in this game. Sammy Watkins is going to get one on the end around. Mecole Hardman's going to get something. And that's how you get to 120 rushing yards in this game, and you keep it viable and you keep it balanced by doing that. That's the situation. If I had to guess, I think Darrell Williams is going to be their number one running back. I just think based on what we've seen this postseason, based on them trusting him at the end of the game against Buffalo, because if you remember, Clyde was on the field more against Buffalo in terms of snap counts, but the running back who touched the ball more, the running back who saw more carries was Darrell Williams. I can see them doing something similar, that if this game is tight at the end of the game, that they're trusting Darrell more than they're trusting Clyde down the stretch.
Yeah, and trust is the optimal word, especially with Andy Reid. Think about it. That's probably the thing that he cares about most. He doesn't care how big you are, how fast you are, how hard you cut. Does he trust you? Like, and with Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a rookie who hasn't really played in the postseason a lot, is there reason to trust him, right? You think about the other options. Le'Veon Bell, have we seen him enough in a Chiefs uniform this year to trust that guy? With Darrell Williams, I'm not saying he's great or flashy, but he's definitely trustworthy. A lot like Damien Williams was last year, where, again, he wasn't going to blow you away, but every now and again, he has got a couple of big carries and probably should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. I think that we saw last year again with LeSean McCoy. As soon as he put the ball on the ground a couple of times, he was in the doghouse and he lost Andy's trust. So if it comes down to which guy he believes in the most, I think it'll be Darrell Williams. I think Darrell probably take like 8 or 9 carries, which probably leads the team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I would guess. I think they're going to continue to run him. I think they're going to continue to show the trust in Darrell Williams, and I honestly think that he's earned it. I think based on how he's played these last couple of playoff games, I think he's earned that level
of
trust,
too.
And I think they've earned giving him the football. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Nick Wright of FS1, one of the top opinion makers in our business. Nick Wright will be on the show coming up in just a little bit. So keeping it with yards to get an idea of where you are heading into this game, Rob, if you can give me a little bit of NFL music here, I'm going to go through some of the lesser players in this game. I don't want to go through the stars here. We know you think Mahomes is going to cook and Hill's going to cook and Kelsey's going to cook. Those guys are given. I want to go through some of the other guys in the game and see who else you think is going to eat in this matchup. Rob, hit the music. Rob Gronkowski, his over-under in this game is at 29.5. Do you think Gronk has any impact on this game? Because if he hits the under, he ain't have no impact in this game.
I mean, he could hit the over and not have an impact in the game. He could have 35 yards. If the tight end for any opposing team has 35 yards, I wouldn't say that's an impact. Remind me, how many did he have the first time around?
106.
Yeah, the Chiefs haven't done a whole lot in that secondary, gotten a whole lot healthier, went and picked up somebody. So, I mean, you got to play the overs on that one.
I love Tom Brady rushing yards at 0.5. Are you trusting Brady to get one QB sneak in this game? One? That's basically all you need him to
do. No, sacks will screw you. Don't they count sacks against the quarterback rushing yards?
Not into the pros. Yeah, only in college.
The college they do, yeah.
Oh, so the kneel does, though. The kneel does count as -2 yards.
I don't think he's going to be kneeling, so I'm not worried about that one. So you're telling me
end of a half, though.
If he can fall forward a couple of times.
No, not a couple of times, one time. If he falls forward one time, then he will have one rushing yard, which would hit his over. His over right now on rushing yards is 0.5.
No, but what you could push in theory. You could get a half a yard, right? Actually, I wonder if that would work, like for Vegas or Bovada, because technically they never say he gained a half a yard. You either gain 0 yards or you gain 1 yard in the book, so I'll play the overs because I don't know how that one works.
I feel like you talked yourself out of the push. Mike Evans, 63.5 receiving yards. Mike Evans.
I'm actually going to play the unders on that one because I think that's where LJ is. I think LJ Snead, if he doesn't lock him down, he shuts him down. And it's tough to predict the overs on any specific Tampa Bay wide receiver because they've got so many different pass catchers. So I'll put it.
Somebody's hitting their over on passing.
Somebody
yards.
Is. Somebody
Somebody's
is.
Hitting their over.
It's whoever LJ Snead is not on. So I think that he's probably going to be shadowing Mike Evans for most of this game, which is what I would suggest. So I'll play the unders on Evans.
So I'm assuming you're taking the over then on Chris Godwin because Chris Godwin is at 77.5.
That's a big number, man. Yeah, I'll play the overs there. Again, you're right. One of these wide receivers, it could be Scotty Miller. You know, it could be a slot wide receiver we're not even talking about. Same thing with AB. One of these guys is going to have 80-plus yards. Pinning who it's going to be is a little bit difficult. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do as far as, you know, when you play Madden back in the day and it was like 4th and 1 million and you just throw the old Hail Mary. At times you're going to see that in this game where just everybody streak, Gronkowski go across the middle and Tom Brady's going to throw the football. That's what we're going to see, how good this Chiefs secondary is. Like, you can put Tyrann Mathieu on anybody, you got the advantage there. You can put LJ Snead on anybody, you got the advantage there. Do you have an advantage in the secondary anywhere else? I don't know.
I mean, they have Tyreek Hill's over under at 92.5, and they have Travis Kelce's over under at 94.5. They're not really trusting that Tampa defense to slow either one of those guys down. And not even just based on the last time these two teams played, Hill and Kelce have had over 100 yards in both of their playoff games. It's a safe bet that both of them are going to hit their over just based on how they've played this postseason, the amount of targets we expect them to get.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Travis Kelce has gotten 100 yards in his sleep. And with Tyreek Hill, I genuinely believe that Tampa Bay, after this game, when they're taking off their shoulder pads, looking themselves in the mirror in the locker room after losing the Super Bowl, if they give up 160 yards and a touchdown to Tyreek Hill, they're going to be high-fiving and saying, well, that was pretty good. At least he didn't beat us. So you got to play the overs there. If he has 100 and, what would that be, 60 less yards than he had the first time, he'll still get the overs. I'm playing the overs on both those guys.
Coming up next, we're very happy to be joined by former 610 Sports radio host. He also is the host of First Things First on FS1. He's one of the top opinion makers in our business. Nick Wright joins the show next. That's coming up. Stick around. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, Super Bowl Rewind.
Third and 15 for the Chiefs from their own 35. And San Francisco leading by 10. 7:13 to go in the game. Seven guys drop back into his deep zone here for the 49ers. Four-man rush, but those four are enough. Here they come. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing long downfield for Tyreek Hill. Got it at the 20-yard line. And then spun down there. The first giant chunk of the game on third down and 15. And Mahomes guns it for 44 yards.
I'm very happy to be joined by our next guest. He is one of the top opinion makers in our business. He also considers himself to be a friend of mine, but he doesn't really do anything that I would deem to be friendly towards me. His name is Nick Wright. He is on Fox Sports 1. He is now joining us on the show. Nick, I hope that you were in a better mood than you were in the last time you were in because you were very mean. My mom was very upset by the way that you spoke at me. It really hurt her feelings.
Well, when your mom and I talked, she had no problem with it whatsoever. Hi, Karen.
How are you doing, man? So, Nick, let's just go ahead and start this off right. I want to go ahead and get your lies and also your misinformation out of the way. Give us a couple of prop bets that you love. I love Brady over on interceptions at 0.5. I also love his completion percentage, which is 62.5%. I love the under for that. Give us your losing bets for this weekend.
Well, I don't have the prop bet sheet in front of me, but I think the alternate line of Chiefs -7.5 plus I think it's 190 is very attractive. I think the Bucks team under in the first half is very attractive, and I think Patrick Mahomes over 2.5 touchdown passes are all very attractive. I think the Chiefs are going to score. I've drilled down to this, Carrington. They have, since Mahomes threw his second interception in the Super Bowl, they have 14 postseason drives with Mahomes if you remove kneel downs. Those 14 postseason drives, there's 10 touchdowns, there's 3 field goals, there's 1 punt. They have been pretty damn unstoppable, and I think that continues.
So, Nick, one thing I really wanted to get your opinion on is, you know, you look at these games from a 1,000-foot level, and a lot of your conversations on who's the best, who's the greatest, what do you think Mahomes needs to do to realistically, and I'm not saying you born in Kansas City, but I mean for it to be a consensus that Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback to ever play in the NFL, what needs to happen? Because with Brady, I don't really think that happened until their Super Bowl win against the Falcons.
Well, consensus, yeah, I mean, he'll, to the count the rings, folks, he'll have to win at least 6 Super Bowls. I think, so, win 6 Super Bowls, and then I think because the eye test is going to be in his favor, I think then he would have the consensus. For folks to seriously be discussing it, what I think needs to happen is they win Sunday, and then they win again next year. Because if Patrick Mahomes is the first, if the Chiefs are the first team to ever three-peat, and, you know, Mahomes is the driving force behind it. If Patrick Mahomes, that would then mean in his career in 4 years, he had won three rings with 1 year he didn't win a ring. He never touched the ball in overtime. He would be 11-1 or 10-1, I guess, in the postseason in that scenario. If the Chiefs win Sunday and then win again next year, then I think folks will start having that conversation very seriously.
And we start calling them Hattrick Mahomes at that point. We got Nick right here
on
the drive.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
I got you, Nick.
I like that a lot.
I got you.
If I had said that same thing, you would have made fun of me for the next 4 minutes. Stop it.
You deserved it, bro.
Stop capping.
Hey, Nick, so I'm sure you've heard the scenario that we've gave all of our guests. 2 minutes left, one timeout, blah, 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 down by five. Is it crazy for anybody to think they'd rather have Tom Brady with the football on Sunday in that scenario than Patrick Mahomes?
Say that. I apologize. You cut out just for a second. Say the beginning to that hypothetical again.
Yeah, the typical, you know, down by five, one timeout left, your team's coming down the field, 2 minute drive. We've heard some people come on and say that they would actually rather have Tom Brady than Patrick Mahomes. Is that blasphemy?
Well, I don't think it's blasphemy, but I don't think it's right. I do think that Brady has historically been the guy you would want in that scenario, but it is worth noting that the last Super Bowl Brady lost, he was in that exact scenario, down five driving, and he got strip sacked, and Philly recovered the football, and the Patriots lost that game. And then the next Super Bowl he was in, he didn't score a touchdown. The offense scored one. They won 13-3. I don't think there's a player in the league you'd rather have in that scenario at this point than Mahomes. My folks at FS1 came across this number. It's pretty amazing. The last time Patrick Mahomes, I'll put it to you guys. This is it's very tough, so don't feel bad if you don't get it. Do you know the last game where the Chiefs were not either leading or tied for the lead at any point of the fourth quarter?
I'm gonna
go. Last time that happened,
I'm gonna go Seattle. His first year as a starter.
That's one of only two times, Carrington. It's happened once since then. The Colts game, his second year as a starter.
Oh yeah,
when he had the sprained ankle, and Tyreek didn't play. 53 starts, 51 of them, they have been tied or leading at one point in the fourth quarter. It's 96%, the highest in NFL history. If you remove ties and you just say, in how many of its starts have the Chiefs had the lead in the fourth quarter? It's 50 of 53, the highest in NFL history by a mile. And so it's really, really difficult to point to more than one or two games in his entire career where he did not put the Chiefs in position to win.
That's a crazy number. Nick writes here on the drive. So, Nick, I'm sure you've heard all about the Chiefs and the barber and the COVID and all that stuff. What's the worst haircut that you've ever had, and how high up is your current haircut on that list?
What's the worst? Yeah, that's the follow-up question is, it would be insulting.
I'm not saying it's bad. I was asking. I'm not insulting you. I didn't say it was bad. In fact, I like it. I was asking your opinion.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't insulting because it was so obviously a lie because my current haircut's so clearly glorious. the worst haircut, I did once, you know, and this is when I was on television, I did once go like just a half, this is back when I was still shaving my head, just like a half tick too low with the where I basically shaved all it. It was like not even a 0.5. It was like a 0.2 on the clippers. And it really did look like that I had a big head. And unfortunately for me, one of the days right after that, I gave, I don't remember what it was, when you give out so many great takes, so they run together.
Sure.
But I gave one of my all-time takes. And so one of my most viral moments ever, I have a what looks like a shaved bald head, so that's not great. If the Chiefs would have, you know, lost the Super Bowl because a barber gave a third of the team, including Mahomes, COVID, I obviously, on myself in the city, no one would have ever gotten over it. It also does seem like the exact type of thing that used to consistently happen to the Chiefs.
Right now, we're talking to Nick Wright, who has amazing hair. He's also on Fox Sports 1. You can see his gray hair on First Things First.
Thanks, Carrington. See, Carrington, where did our relationship go sideways?
You got big time. That's what happened.
What happened?
I'm telling you what happened. One time I called you, and then you didn't answer the phone, and then you called me back 4 days later. You're like, oh, I'm just talking to fill-in-the-blank all-star athlete. And that's when you and I have had beef since then.
Oh, because I don't immediately answer your phone calls, which every single one of them since I've left Kansas City, every single one of them has been about how I can do something for you as opposed to checking on me, my feelings, my family, my emotional well-being. That's why? Okay, well, at least now I understand why we have beef. What's the question? I'm sorry, I forgot.
I was just going to ask you, this week when you guys have been talking, where would you rank Brady's storyline of just simply being in the game? Because I would imagine none of us, at least right now in this conversation, have Brady winning the game. But just getting to the Super Bowl at age 43, throwing 40 touchdowns, COVID year, switching teams, this is one of the best storylines in the history of the league.
Yeah, I find it unbelievable. I know a lot. This was a somewhat popular Super Bowl before the year. I have to take the L on my Brady opinion that he was cooked 3 years ago. But here's the thing. I don't think it was wrong. Like, he showed all the signs of it. I just want to go through this real quick to explain how unbelievable this season is, right? In 2017, he was the league MVP. He was utterly spectacular, right? Everybody knows that. In 2018, let me back up a tiny bit. 2016, he has the comeback against Atlanta, the greatest Super Bowl individual performance ever, that 28-3 comeback. Follows that up in 2017 with an MVP season, throws for 500 yards in the Super Bowl, but they lose. 2018, his numbers are down across the board. He throws a third pick to lose the AFC Championship game. He gets bailed out by the D Ford play. They win a 13-3 Super Bowl. 2019, he has his worst statistical season since his rookie year. Throws a pick six to lose in wild card weekend, and Belichick basically tells him, we don't need you anymore. The fact that he followed that up in 2020 with 40 touchdowns back to the playoffs, three road playoff victories against Washington and then at New Orleans, at Green Bay, I find just impossible. I find it remarkable. It is so incredibly impressive. And I have to give him his due because I wasn't being a hater saying Tom Brady is, done at this point. I was just looking at the evidence and evaluating it as such. Unfortunately, that's obviously not what happened.
And Nick, you and I have been mostly on the same page when it comes to Brady, but I think at least in this matchup and what's been somewhat confusing and somewhat frustrating is a lot of people are trying to throw Brady's past into this game where I'm talking about the here and now. Like, yes, I was wrong on Brady. Brady had way more left in the tank than I gave him credit for. But I'm talking about the guy who just played against the Packers who threw three interceptions when they ran seven plays. Yep. I'm talking about the guy who against the Saints threw for 199 yards. We're not talking about the Brady from 2007. We're talking about the Brady that we've seen this postseason. Can that guy beat Kansas City? And for me, the answer is no.
Well, I agree with that entirely. And if we are talking about Brady historically, what you've got to acknowledge is Brady in the Super Bowl, while he has had obviously some epic moments, he also has turned the ball over in every Super Bowl he has played in, except for the very, very first one when his teams, when they won 20-17 over the Rams. I also think that Brady's career and history and reputation in this game would be far, far more meaningful if the Bucs were playing the Bills. And by that I mean, I think that Brady's experience would be much, much more meaningful if he was playing a quarterback in a team that hadn't just been in this game last year. I got ratioed and mocked on the internet for a take that I'll, for last week that I'll quadruple down on, which is, given who his teammates are and this game, I think Patrick Mahomes has more relevant Super Bowl experience than Brady for this game. Because Mahomes was in this game last year with the same coach, with the same teammates, with the same guy calling plays. For Brady, the only familiar face he has is Gronkowski in a totally different system with different coordinators and different teammates.
So, Nick, you think that Brady is, and we all do, think is the football GOAT, and you've said a million times that you think LeBron is the basketball GOAT. Let's say, just for the sake of this conversation, Brady goes out there and pulls off the upset. Who do you think's career has been more impressive?
If Brady wins this game, he absolutely pulls into pole position for the greatest team sport athlete ever in American history. Right now, I do feel that's LeBron, that LeBron has had the greatest American team sport athlete ever. Kareem, I think, has an argument to that as well. But if Brady wins this game 20 years removed from his first one, then I think you do have to at least temporarily reevaluate it until LeBron wins a couple more rings. So for two more years for LeBron when he finishes off his three sure. in L.A. But I do also think this, if Mahomes wins Sunday, Mahomes passes, once Lou Alcindor for the greatest start to a career in American team sports history, which 3 years in, two championships, a league MVP, one or two Super Bowl MVPs, and to have two rings before you have your 10th loss and two rings before you lose a single game by more than a score, I think it's the greatest start to a career ever.
Nick, last question here, and we appreciate your time. You always do those like lists and tiers and hierarchies, however you phrase them. So you had Mahomes and Brady in the top three. You also had Mike Remmers, the left tackle for Kansas City. Yeah. Why so high in this game? And I would imagine, maybe to paraphrase what you're going to say, is I look at this matchup as I actually think that the biggest advantage, at least that Tampa has, is that pass rush, that front seven going up against Kansas City's offensive line, that if Tampa Bay pulls off this upset, it will be because Shaq Barrett just goes off the way he did in the NFC Championship game, or Ndamukong Suh has a couple of sacks, or Jason Pierre-Paul. I'm curious why you had Mike Remmers so high up on your list.
Well, yes, you nailed it for the most part. It's not just that goes off for a couple of sacks, Shaq Barrett or JPP. It's strip sacks. It's game-changing plays, and Mike Remmers has played in one Super Bowl before, and in that Super Bowl, he gave up not just two sacks, he gave up two strip sacks to Von Miller, and it flipped the entire game for the Broncos against the Panthers. He gave up a strip sack that was recovered in the end zone for a touchdown, and then he gave up the strip sack at the end of the game, the famous play where Cam didn't try to jump on the ball. And so I think that is the one scenario where the Chiefs lose. Is I don't think Mahomes is going to throw any picks. I don't think Mahomes is going to be sloppy with the ball. But if Remmers just gets beat immediately and Mahomes gets hit on his blind side and coughs the ball up, or gets hit on his blind side and gets dinged and gets knocked out of the game, that's the way the Chiefs lose this football game. So that's why I think he's that important.
And that is Nick Wright. You can catch him every morning on FS1 on First Things First. You could follow him on Twitter at GetNickWright. He might have the most beautiful hair in really all is. Of sports media. Nick Wright joining us on the show today. Thanks, Nick.
See, it's not that hard. I'm not even mad that last week you guys bumped me for Warren Moon. I'll talk to you after the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. See you, Carrington. See you, Sean.
See you, Nick.
See you, man. That is Nick Wright of FS1 joining us on the show today. I didn't want to tell Nick this, that of all the guests that we had this week, nobody asked if we were having Clark on the show or not. I don't know why no one asked that question. I feel like Clark Hunt knows this is the place to be because we boys, I don't know if y'all know that or not, me and Clark Hunt are like this. The guest we got asked the most, is he going to be on the show this week, was Nick Wright. I don't want to tell him that.
Yeah, I mean – Something tells me if you ask Nick if you could stay on his couch for a couple of days or come watch a Chiefs game, his answer would be, yeah, old friend. You know, you used to do that all the time back in your poor intern days. You ask that question to the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, hey, would it be cool if we come and just watch a game, me and Sean and Rob and a plus one? And his answer was a very uncomfortable, nah, I think I'm going to pass. I didn't realize until Nick just said it that Mike Remmers, one, has been in the league that long, and two, played for as many teams as he had. Tampa, the Chargers, Carolina, St. Louis, back to Carolina, Minnesota, the Giants, and now in Kansas City. Who knew?
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. I will say this, and I do want to talk to Sean Barber about it, who's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, and we can take phone calls, and we haven't really done that much this week. But I may be a little bit more hesitant to jumping all in the water the way you have about this game because of the offensive line. Like, I really think that Tampa Bay's upfront defensive line can dominate this football game. Like, I really think that they're capable of neutralizing Kansas City's offense. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm picking Kansas City to win, but if I'm wrong here in this scenario, it's going to be because we all underestimated their defensive line and we all overestimated Andy Reid's ability to neutralize one of the worst offensive lines they've had since Mahomes has been here. I mean, you don't have Eric Fisher. You don't have Mitchell Schwartz. You don't have Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. I mean, even from just the Super Bowl last year, like a lot of this running back was based on the continuity. It was based on the guys you had last year. The only place they don't have continuity is on the offensive line. They have continuity everywhere else on the team but the offensive line. And in this matchup, that might come to bite you.
I think it's being oversold. I know that sounds crazy. A patchwork offensive line is completely different from last year's Super Bowl. But I think Patrick Mahomes is the ultimate equalizer. And, I mean, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have a good offensive line and a statue of a quarterback, a Joe Flacco and a Tom Brady, or a patchwork offensive line but maybe the most mobile quarterback in the pocket in the league right now, and Patrick Mahomes? Like, I think that he's going to get pressure. They're going to send the pressure. The offensive line is not great. There's going to be bucks in the backfield. I don't think that means Pat's going to get sacked a lot, though.
I mean, he was sacked 4 times in the game against San Francisco. And I know we look at the 31 points at the end of the game. They had 10 points 52 minutes into the football game. So I'm just saying, it's San Francisco, and you got to finish it. You got to play a full 60 minutes. I'm not using the ifs, ands, and buts.
And that was against a much better and healthier Chiefs offensive line that had Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher.
I'm just saying is, we're not that old to remember. Just last year, we saw a really strong defense neutralize this very potent offense for a prolonged period of time. If this team scores 10 points for the first 50 minutes of this game, they're losing this football game. Like, Brady's not going to be in this, as down as I am on Brady, Brady's not letting go of a 10-point lead with 7 minutes to go in the Super Bowl.
Probably not.
That's not where Brady is in this. So I think Kansas City is going to win this game. I think they're going to score. But I'm saying is, if this game turns, it's not turning to me because we come on here on Monday and say, you know what, Brady just got us. Brady had one of those vintage days where he threw for 350 yards, 4 touchdowns. Like, we just couldn't stop him offensively. It's going to be because Shaq Barrett won 2 Bowl MVP. It's going to be because Vita Vea got 7 quarterback pressures in this game. That's how they neutralize Kansas City's clear advantage offensively.
And if Vita Vea gets 7 pressures, and if Jason Pierre-Paul has 3 sacks, and if there's somebody else that has 22 tackles, and if Mike Evans has, you know, an okay game on the offensive side, Tom Brady still wins the MVP. I can't believe how many people are throwing, like, we'll talk prop bets tomorrow. How many people are putting a little bit of money on this guy or that guy? Mecole Hardman at 40-1, Leonard Fournette at 10-1. Don't be silly. If the Bucs win this game, the MVP, no matter what happens, is Tom Brady. If the Chiefs win the game, the MVP, no matter what happens, is Patrick Mahomes. Stop playing.
I don't think that, actually.
Stop playing.
I know I'm one of the few
Come
people.
Come on,
I'm just saying,
stop playing.
I mean, in the NFC Championship game, he would not have been the MVP.
Oh, yes, he would have. As bad as he played, I think he would have. I mean, we saw last year Patrick Mahomes. You point out all the time. You just said it 5 minutes ago. He didn't play a good game. It's one of his worst games.
Yeah, but Pat also
won the MVP.
Yeah, but Pat made plays to win at the end of the game. Like, now I feel like, and I sound very odd saying this, like, now we're just looking at the stats and saying, oh, well, Damian ran for 100 yards. I mean, his 50-yard run was after they were already up in the
football
game.
I mean, Tyreek made a big play. Sammy made a big play. Certainly, a lot of guys made big plays. It wasn't a standout game by Patrick Mahomes' standards.
Not at all.
To give him the MVP, which is why I'm saying if Tom Brady's on that football field, and if they eventually win the game, he's going to end with that MVP trophy.
No,
I promise you.
I'm just saying is, WASP doesn't happen without Mahomes. Like, Byron Pringle could have been where Tyreek Hill was. Like, Mahomes, to me, made the play to win him. The Sammy Watkins play. The throw was from Patrick Mahomes. Like, to me, Mahomes went out there and made plays. I would say the last 2 games that Brady has played, I don't think he would have won MVP. Like, if he plays how he did against the Saints and they win this football game the way that they won against the Saints, I don't think he wins MVP.
How many sacks did Derek Thomas have in that one game versus Seattle?
Six.
Six? Was it seven or six?
I think it was six.
Whatever it was. Let's say Shaq Barrett goes out there and has eight sacks in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's still the MVP.
Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Sean Barber, former NFL linebacker, will join us in studio to take a closer look at Super Bowl 55. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.